Welton Gaddy has the week off, but in early August of 2008, he sat down with the Reverend Dr. Joan Brown Campbell, who at the time was director of the religion department at the Chautauqua Institution. It's valuable to remember what the key issues were at this time 8 years ago.
Reverend Joan Brown Campbell previously served as the executive director of the U.S. Office of the World Council of Churches and as the general secretary of the National Council of the Churches of Christ in the USA. She has worked closely with many religious, civil rights, and political leaders. On her Rolodex and in her friendship list are people like Archbishop Desmond Tutu and Martin Luther King Jr. and President Bill Clinton and Nelson Mandela, and on it goes. She is a tireless advocate for democracy, and she works out of a strong base of faith. What are, in your mind, the key religious issues in this campaign?
Surely the war is one. One of the main religious issues is really how people feel about issues of war and peace. Not only whether we should have gone to war, but whether or how we should leave Iraq if that becomes the question. Even though the pundits say, well, maybe that's not so strong now of an issue, I think it's still very strong. But I think there's another underneath issue that doesn't get, we get the issues of abortion, gay marriage, those kind of issues are always surfaced. But I think there's an underneath issue that we don't talk about, but I think it's a deeply religious issue. That's really the issue of the economy. Because who's affected by an economy that goes bad?
Why aren't we talking about it?
I think people are afraid of it, in one sense. It's deeply personal. It's deeply private to some people. The fact that Cleveland, where I come from, more people are having their houses taken away from them or mortgages have failed than in almost any other city. And believe me, in the city, they're talking about those issues. They don't seem to surface as much at the national level. But I would imagine if the candidates go into town after town in this country, they're going to get asked questions, no matter whether it's named the economy. They really are questions of how are people doing in their personal lives, in their ability to educate their children. All of these things are huge for Americans, I think. People call them economic issues. They're profoundly issues of faith. Who has resources and who doesn't? Every single time, as you well know, we have an economic downturn, it's inevitably the poor that become poorer. Often it affects women more than it does others. It certainly affects young people, and it affects people new into the job market. Jobs are hard to come by, and I think those are deeply issues of faith. Every pastor will tell you that in their congregation, they have people that have lost their homes. Divorces have resulted from that. They have people that used to have enough money, certainly to get by, if not a little more. And that's not true anymore. People are turning out for church suppers more than they used to. Not because the food's so great, but because there's plenty of food.
This discussion about faith in public life is by no means a new one. It's been a part of the debate in this country since the beginning of our country, I guess. John Meacham of Newsweek and the Washington Post On Faith column pointed out that failing to consider the past commits us to the tyranny of the present. Now, for you, Joan, what are some of the most important lessons from that past?
Well, I think one of the things that is one of the most important lessons is the vital role that religious liberty has always played in this nation's history. I was fascinated, Welton, that Christians, Muslims, and Jews alike across the board, whether they were conservative or liberal or whatever tag you put on people, the one point of agreement really was that religious liberty matters.
I just saw this study that indicated that in the campaign so far, the candidates have spent almost as much time talking about religion as they have about foreign policy. And that bothers me.
Yeah, me too. I think that's a very disturbing thing to know.
I'm wondering, what do you think, what do you fear most about religion's role in this election?
Well, what I fear is exactly what you just stated, and that is it plays an exaggerated role. all of a sudden, it seems to make a huge amount of difference to Americans as to what religious group someone belongs to. The fact of the matter is, it's been said over and over again, that religion is someone's personal and private matter, and that we really oughtn't to judge people on what denomination do they belong to, what history do they have, what values they have is huge. And religious people, just like everybody else, ought to be asking the questions, separate and apart from their religious history. Frankly, whether someone is a born-again Christian or not should not be a part of our debate and our dialogue. Whether someone is a conservative Jew or a liberal Jew, or whether these are the things that worry me, instead of getting down to the questions of why do we have hungry people and what do you, the candidate, what do you think you should do about that? What's going to happen to the issues in the Middle East? How are you going to be a peacemaker? Those are religious questions, but they're not framed in that way.
Joan, can you point to one moment that really made you stop and think? Maybe you were surprised, or maybe it raised a new question for you about faith in public life. Was there such a moment?
I think it really was this morning, Welton, when young Eboo Patel spoke. And here's a 32-year-old young man, began a youth corps, is beginning to teach people how to do interfaith work. Not assume that they know how, not have a focus group, not have everybody over for dinner and think they're all going to get along, but teach them how to do it. And part of what he's teaching them is that we need to be able to find our common voice if we're going to address public life. It's remarkable what he's been able to do with young people. And I guess the reason it was so important to me was, I think what he really was a harbinger of hope. When he talked about why he thinks young people are so invested in this particular election. And he talked about the way Obama and the way he speaks to people has a particular resonance with young people. And that was a surprising comment, that the way in which he really delved into that in terms of why did those words particularly make a difference for young people. And I asked him a tough question. I said, well, what happens if somebody else wins? And he said, well, he thinks young people are invested in the nation at this point. And maybe it's been the war, maybe it's been what they've seen, and maybe it's a reaction against a generation that maybe wasn't as concerned. And those were surprising insights for me.
If you could take what we have shared and learned here at Chautauqua this week, and you could share it with the two candidates, what would you say to John McCain and Barack Obama?
Well, I think I would say to both of them that they don't need to wear their faith on the sleeve, but that what they do need to know is that faith does matter. Take the faith community seriously, but take seriously the diversity of the faith community. That, I think, is the most important thing they need to hear. It's not a community of like-minded people. And there's no way they can say, I'm only going to go to the evangelicals, their vote matters, or I'm only going to go to the black community, or I'm only going to go to the liberal community. They need to speak to the diversity of the religious community. It's pretty powerful in this country.
Has this week changed Joan Brown Campbell in any way?
You know, I'm by now a grandmother of eight people, and they are people. Five of them are voters. It re-energizes me. I love seeing the audience reaction to this and the nitty-gritty back and forth. It's probably, of all the weeks at Chautauqua so far, this has had more interaction between people of different viewpoints. So I'm by nature an optimist and somebody who wants to keep going at this business. And I suppose it makes me feel re-energized for this work. You can get discouraged in this interfaith
sure.
work. And sometimes the progress is minimal. And you see a week like this and you realize we have made progress. I think that was Eboo's great gift. Here's this young man willing to take this on, and he's got a lifetime to give to us.
Joan Brown Campbell is director of the Religion Department of the Chautauqua Institute in New York. She's formerly the General Secretary of the National Council of the Churches. She is my good friend and a friend to this nation. Joan, thank you.
Thank you, Wilton.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone you know, please share it with that person. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes and in-depth archives, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. The community that's grown around State of Belief Radio is active all week long, online. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and engage in the discussion. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Wilton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man.